This morning, I have a mind to preach to you some from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. We were there last Sunday night on one of the parables that Jesus taught about the Pharisee and the publican going up to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee showed us how we shouldn't be, and the publican showed us how we should be. The Pharisee had a big head. He thought highly of himself. He was bragging and boasting to God about all he had done and hadn't done. Now, I want to tell you, that's about as unbecoming as a person can be in prayer. But the publican just bowed his head and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus says he went down to his house justified, rather than the Pharisee. See, God does not see like you and I see. We might judge people outwardly. God looks on the heart. And so, that's a wonderful parable that our Lord taught us. Now, this morning, I want to go back to the first verse of Luke chapter 18 and begin reading. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. A parable is a story that Jesus would often use in the Bible to come alongside a lesson that he's wanting to teach. Now, in this parable, he's going to tell us the story of a judge that lived in this city, and about a widow that had to go to the judge to get help. Now, that story comes alongside a great lesson that Jesus wants us to learn. And what is the lesson that Jesus wants us to get out of this parable? Well, let's notice. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end." Now, I think those of us who are familiar with all the parables of Jesus would agree some of his parables are hard to understand. The kingdom parables in Matthew 13, I'm still studying those and meditating on them, and I still have to acknowledge I certainly don't understand all that Jesus was teaching in those seven kingdom parables. But this parable we ought to be able to understand easily, because Jesus tells us right up front what this parable is all about. In other words, he puts the key to the front door under the mat where you can get it and get in. Are y'all with me? Let's notice. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end," for this purpose. He's giving them this parable. Now, what was the purpose of this parable? That men ought always to pray. How often are we to pray? Always. We ought to be in a mind of an attitude of prayer and communion with our God in heaven at all times. "That men ought always to pray and not to faint." Now, beloved, if your journey through the Christian life has been like mine, there have been times when you have fainted. You just get weary in your prayers. You're praying about something and looks like nothing is happening, and you just kind of faint. Has anybody in the house ever experienced that? See, you can get discouraged in your prayer life if you're not careful. So Jesus is giving us this parable so that we won't faint. A very interesting parable. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Now, if you're here today and you're praying all the time and you're praying in faith, and then you probably won't need this message. But if you're like most of us, you're going to need what Jesus is teaching us in this parable. "Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man." Now, I'm thankful this morning I've never had to go before a judge. I'm very thankful for that. But if I ever have to go before a judge, I hope it won't be a judge like this judge. Did y'all hear what Jesus said about this judge? He feared not God, neither regarded man. He had no fear of God. Now, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So this judge obviously is not a wise judge. And furthermore, he has no regard for man. Wouldn't you think a judge on a bench ought to have a regard for his fellow man? Why would he even want to be a judge if he's not having some regard for his fellow man? But this is the kind of judge that is in this city. He fears not God, and he has no regard for man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, that is, unto this unjust judge, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now, Jesus doesn't tell us in the parable what her adversary was. And I think probably one reason he doesn't identify what her specific adversary was because all of us are going to have adversaries. Everybody here is going to have something that's adverse in your life. So this woman comes to the judge, and she asks him, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. Now, did you hear that? This is a widow. Widows kind of pull at most people's hearts, wouldn't you think? I mean, really. I think about Sister Joyce Little. We got the word about her struggling with dementia, and we love Sister Joyce, and she's a widow. And that makes us feel even more compassion for her. So this widow comes to this unjust judge asking him for help with her adversary, and he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself. Now listen to what the judge says to himself. He talks to himself. How many of y'all talk to yourselves? I do. I try to make good sense when I'm talking to myself, but this judge was not making good sense when he was talking to himself. Verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. I can just hear him saying that to himself as he looks down on this widow who is aggravating him. He said, yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, this widow had a problem, and it was such a bad problem that she kept on going to the judge. I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't camp out on the courtrooms or the courtyard steps. I mean, she was there. She's probably there when the judge went in. She might have been there when he came out. And when she got a chance, she appeared before him. She's got a problem, and she's not going to let it go. She keeps going to this judge. And this unjust judge who has a cold heart, and he has no regard for man, no fear of God, but listen to what he says. He says, lest by her continual coming she weary me. In other words, he's ready to get rid of this woman, this widow. So what does he do? He says, I'm going to give her what she's asking for, lest she weary me to death. And the Lord said, now listen, this is Jesus now saying, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? This beautiful parable is encouraging us to pray always and to faint not. Now, how in the world can this parable encourage us to pray? Well, here it is, beloved. This poor widow does not have a lawyer. She doesn't have a husband. She doesn't have any children to go with her. You know, sometimes you'll see a trial on the news and a whole family will be gathered around somebody that's being tried. And the family's there to help. And they have a lawyer that's there to help. And they've got, you know, they've got a GoFundMe program to help with all the finances. Well, this widow doesn't have a lawyer. She doesn't have a husband. No mention of any children. She's got an adversary. And it's so bad that she is trying to get help from an unjust judge. And she keeps on and she keeps on. And finally, did y'all hear what it says? She finally got help from an unjust judge. Now, Jesus is teaching us, when we go to pray, we don't go to pray to an unjust judge. We don't go to pray to a hard-hearted God. We go to pray to who? Our Heavenly Father. You know how Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6? The model prayer, it's not Jesus' prayer, the Lord's prayer. I used to hear that when I was in school. You know, let's recite the Lord's Prayer. But listen, it's really not the Lord's. It's not the kind of prayer Jesus would have prayed. And the reason for that is this. In the body of the prayer, he says, and forgive us our sins. Jesus didn't have any sins to ask forgiveness for, right? So this is not the Lord's Prayer. It's the sinner's prayer. It's a model prayer for all of us. And how did Jesus begin the prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven. And I want to tell you, beloved, that had to be a shocking revelation to the men in the congregation. Jesus is teaching that in the Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, if you want to hear Jesus, if you want to be with Jesus, you're going to have to climb the mountain. You're going to have to make the effort. You're going to have to get up there where he is and leave the crowds behind. Are y'all with me today? And up there, Jesus is going to teach them the model prayer. And he begins it by saying, Our Father. Not my Father. Our Father. God's got a big family. And if you're on the outs with anybody this morning, if you've got any bitterness in your heart toward any of his children, you need to get rid of that, because I want to tell you, bitterness turns to poison, which will destroy your life. It'll defile multitudes of people. So remember, when I'm praying to your Father and my Father, and he is not happy when I'm upset with some of his children and mistreating his children, right? I remember growing up in our home, there were a lot of kids down there. And every once in a while, one of them would pick on the other one. Can any of y'all relate to that? Well, I want to tell you, Mom and Daddy didn't like for us fussing with one another and picking on one another. And I was the youngest, and thankfully they looked out for me. Now, I want to tell you, Mom and Daddy didn't want Franklin or Hezekiah or Dan or E.D. picking on me. Well, I want to tell you, your Heavenly Father doesn't want you picking on any of his children. Now, I want to tell you, y'all need to write that down. If you got a memory problem, write it down. Don't mess with any of his children. You're his child. They're his child. And Jesus teaches us to use that plural pronoun, our Father. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I've been in the church over 60 years, and I run into people that are aggravating. But they're God's children, and I ought to be praying for them and showing love to them instead of criticizing them or getting behind their backs and talking about them. Can I get a witness from anybody? How many of y'all are good at praying for your people that aggravate you? I want to tell you, fussing at them is not going to help. Talking about them behind their back is not going to help. I tell you what will help. Talk to their Heavenly Father about them. Tell Him how aggravating they are. And He can do something about it. Are y'all, some of y'all look like you're getting this, and some of you, it's a little early in the day. You know, I've heard men pray before that God would bless the preacher to preach better than he's ever preached in his life. I've never quite understood that prayer. What I would pray is, God bless the congregation to hear better than they've ever heard. Amen? Because it doesn't matter how good the preaching is, if y'all aren't listening good, you're just not going to get it. Our Father. He's your Father just as much as He's my Father. And He loves you just as much as He loves me. And if you're struggling or dealing with problems and it's made you an aggravating person, I ought to love you and be praying for you. Our Father. I want to tell you, that those two words right there, just understanding those two words, He's our Father. Did y'all know that? The God of this universe, the God who said, let it be, and it was so. And in 6 days, He created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. The stars, billions. I think we had a preacher here the other day who said he's found out maybe through his studies there's trillions of stars. They keep on finding more and more stars. And you know who made them all? Our Heavenly Father. And not only did He make them, He calls them by name. That's one of the Psalms. Now, listen. Can this eternal being who had no beginning, He has no end, He knows everything that's going on in the universe. He's numbered, you know, He knows everything about what's going on in Washington, D.C. He knows everything about what's going on in Paris, France, Moscow. You know, He knows everything that's going on, and He's involved in all of it, and yet He is my Father? Come on now. Can that be? Let's be serious. Can it be that He is my Father? According to Scripture, it is. And that was a revelation to the men that were listening to Jesus preach up there in that mountain. Because, see, the Jews did not refer to God in the Old Testament as Father. They referred to Him as Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, different names that they had for God. And all of those names are very important and very meaningful. But I can tell you this morning, beloved, the most precious name that you and I can use in addressing God is our Father. I was listening to a radio program one time, a call-in show, and this pastor was teaching about God being our Father, and this woman called in, and she was upset about it because she said, my father was so mean. He was brutal. He abused us. He didn't provide for us. He was drunk a lot of the time. He would beat us. And I just cannot find any comfort in thinking about God as being a father. Now, my heart goes out to that woman. I know Brother Mike didn't have a daddy like that. I certainly didn't. I hope none of you have. But if you did have a father like that, don't let that interfere with your understanding of God as being a loving, caring, providing, faithful, heavenly Father. Amen. You see what the verse says? Our Father which art in heaven. He's not an earthly father. Our earthly fathers we loved, but they were frail. They would get sick. Maybe they couldn't provide. And for many of us, our earthly fathers have gone on to glory. But our Heavenly Father is on His throne. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. How many of y'all ever think of God as being your Father? I see a few heads nodding. Thank you. That encourages the preacher to know that y'all think of God as your Father. Not your earthly Father, your heavenly Father. And you know, that principle right there ought to help everybody end up believing what old Baptists believe. Because what did you do to become your earthly Father's child? How many of y'all played a role in being your earthly Father's child? Any of y'all? Did y'all choose him? No. You had nothing to do with it. I want to tell you, you had that much to do with being God's children. He's your heavenly Father because He chose you and loved you. See, there's only two positions to take when it comes to salvation, to eternal salvation. You either got to have to say it's unconditional or it's conditional. Now, if it's unconditional, y'all know what the word condition means. You know, to get a driver's license, you've got to meet certain conditions, right? I did. Took me a while. But I finally met the conditions and got my driver's license. That was a happy day. A lot of things in life are conditional. You go to the bank to get a loan, you've got to meet certain conditions, right? But if it's unconditional, what does that mean? That means you don't have to meet any conditions at all. Well, the Bible teaches us that eternal life is by grace alone, unconditional. Amen. Now, you say, well, Brother Sam, I believe salvation is by grace, but you've got to have faith. Then it's conditional. It's either unconditional, all by grace, or if you play any part in it at all, your faith, your belief, your baptism, your good works, any of that, then it becomes conditional. Now, you may be in a church that just has one condition you've got to meet. You may be in a church that's got 20. The Catholics, and I'm not here to, you know, I'm not here to be hard on Catholics, but I want to tell you, they got a long list of things you got to do. And if you don't keep doing them, you may not get to heaven. That's not unconditional salvation. That's based on what you do. But listen, if you have so many preachers that I've listened to over the years say it's by faith alone. Well, listen, if it's your faith, that's a condition you've got to meet, right? If you're God's child, it's unconditional on your part. But it was conditional on His part, and He met all the conditions. His Son came into the world and kept the law for us, and then presented His sinless life as a sacrifice for our sins and paid the sin debt in full. And brother, it's paid. And I've had so many friends of mine say, well, Brother Sam, I believe Jesus paid it all, but you got to accept it or it's not yours. I want to tell you, the other day I stopped at Scott's Barbecue. I was coming back from somewhere, and I ordered a pound of brisket from Scott's. And I'm going to advertise for Scott's here a moment. If y'all never had Scott's brisket, I'd recommend it if you like brisket. I ordered it to take out. Well, a friend of mine was in there with his wife, and when I went up to pay, the waitress said, sir, your bill's already paid. Now, you talk about enjoying brisket. I mean, I like brisket even if I pay for it. But somebody else pays for it, makes it taste even better. Now, let me ask you all, I didn't know who did that. I didn't know who paid it. But I enjoyed it. Do you think the clerk or the owner of Scott's says, now wait a minute, I gotta check with Mr. Bryan to make sure he'll accept the fact that you're paying for it? No. Let's say you owe a big debt at the bank and somebody comes along and pays it for you. You think Mr. Banker is gonna call you up and say, will you accept the fact that John Doe wants to pay your debt? No. If he's paying it, he'll take it. Right? Let me tell you, Jesus paid our sin debt. And y'all need to know it's paid for and give Him the credit for it. But you don't have to accept it for it to be paid for. Y'all get that? It seemed like anybody could understand that. I mean, somebody with one eye and half sense ought to be able to see that. Jesus paid it. They'll tell you, oh, Jesus paid it all. Yes, sir, he paid the debt. But you got to accept it or it's not yours. Listen, beloved, we didn't have any way to accept it. We were dead in sin. Jesus paid it on that cross 2,000 years ago, and that debt is paid. Now, you're his child, and you're his child by grace. And I want you all to walk in the light of knowing that you are his child. Our Father, which art in heaven. Oh, I love that. I love that. He's in heaven. Nobody can attack him, harm him, weaken him in any way. You know, Mr. Trump, everywhere he goes, he's got to have bodyguards, and he better have good ones. But I want to tell you, our God doesn't need a bodyguard. He is safe. He is in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, my time is gone this morning, but I want to come back to the parable just a moment. Jesus taught this parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was in a city a judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. But this poor widow finally got what she needed because she kept on asking and kept on asking, and she persevered in her prayer life. Now, Jesus is saying, I want you all to keep praying and faint not. And I want to tell y'all, y'all are going to a God that loves you. He cares for you. And I want to encourage you to pray. Keep on praying. Now, there's a lot. See, this widow didn't have a judge. She didn't have a lawyer. You and I've got a lawyer. You know who it is? Jesus Christ. The advocate. He is our advocate. That's what a lawyer is. They advocate for you in the courtroom. Jesus is our advocate. And you know what? He's the Father's Son. He's the judge's son. Boy, you talk about connections. We got it. Amen. And this lawyer doesn't charge anything. Y'all ever heard of a lawyer that didn't charge? That'd be unusual, wouldn't it? Every lawyer I've ever known, they charge. They need to charge. Jesus doesn't charge you a dime for representing you before the Father. Anyway, I hope maybe. How many of y'all have got something in your life right now you need to be praying about? We had a lot of prayer requests here this morning, right? I'm praying for my health. I'm praying God will help me have a sound mind. There's so much dementia going on. You know, people losing their mind. There's a lot of things you and I need to be praying for every day. If you're a young person looking for a girlfriend, a boyfriend, or a spouse, you got a lot to pray about. I started praying for my young girls, Betsy and Amanda, when they were little, that God would provide them with the right spouse. Grandparents can pray for that. Listen, if y'all got grandkids, you got a lot to pray about. Amen? Wow. I got 7 of them. Nella's got a bunch of them. We got a lot to pray about. And we got somebody in heaven that can help them, that can keep them as the apple of his eye and in the hollow of his hand. Our government, our country is divided. And I don't know what the end will be, but I know God can help. You know what? Our motto is, as a nation, in God we trust. How many of us actually trust in God? I hope we do. He's trustworthy. And thank you all for your wonderful attention this morning.